Hi, friends. This is Angie,
Cecily,
Nikki,
and Becca,
your host of the Seasons Ministry podcast. And I can't even believe it. We are at our final session of another series on transformation. But if you are like us, it will not be the last time you see or hear that word transformation. It will be ongoing for the rest of our lives. But I love how God does that. So I'm going to start us off by reading verses 10 all the way to the end of chapter 4. And we're going to wrap up our thoughts on Philippians and just the series on transformation. So again, Paul is going to begin again with rejoicing in the Lord. Don't miss that. I would encourage you, as I read over the scripture, write down key verses, key themes that you see, and then go back and dig in, and you'll see things like that. Like, go back in all of Philippians and circle every time you see rejoice, or that whole phrase, rejoice in the Lord. So starting right there, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concerns for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share in my struggle or in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Yeah, so here Paul starts again back to our theme of rejoicing, right? I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. And so this is, I hear these themes in here. There's this sharing, if you will. There's a connection. And this is all part of mission and ministry that we are all part of as the body of Christ. He talks about them renewing their partnership with him, or entering into partnership with him, actually. And he says, only you did this. And then he also says, the brothers greet you. So we have these themes here of family and relationship and connection. And it's really coming back to that foundation. We talked in the last podcast about sometimes there's going to be people or situations that may not be resolved this side of heaven. And one of the things that I've had to do in some difficult losses of friendships is to stop and think, one day I will stand beside that person and worship Christ. I will be in God's presence, in the presence of love, and none of this will be in my mind. There won't be any room for it at that point in time. And so when Paul starts coming back in and bringing this, he said, okay, now think about things that inspire worship. And now he's, you've got this group gathered. And so he begins to talk about what they have done for him. And I love it how he talks about how they didn't have an opportunity to help him. And I don't know that we always look at having an opportunity to help. I think we can become doers again, and not intentionally, it starts out good, but we can become doers. And Paul's showing both sides of this, how it felt to receive it, but then what he knows is going to be theirs, that God will supply every need. Do we trust God to supply that need and then give sacrificially? And that most likely in our culture is time. you know, we may not all have any amount of money that we want to give, but that sometimes is easier, let's be honest, than our time. Or how about this of our heart? You know, because, well, I'd rather guard that. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to step forward into that. And so I just think what he's seeing is that in any and every circumstance, I've learned this. And so we want to go back to where he is. He's in prison. And so it's like he's, I don't know, maybe just inviting them to see how much they are helping him. But he's not dwelling in the negative of it. It's just, you know, this is where I am, the reality. And that had to have given them a lot of discouragement too, or fear. And sometimes we don't think about how that may have looked to them standing on the outside. Nikki, you talked about filling in for your mentor, for a mentor, someone who mentored you. And when he was ill, and I just think sometimes we don't realize what it feels to be on the other side.
Yes, and that's another aspect of being in community over time. I can remember one of our church leaders got a bad diagnosis, and so we were going to have a prayer meeting for him that evening, and I remember driving on the way there with this thought, like, watch, you need to watch this, because right now it's my parents' generation who are having to grapple with this, and one day that will be my generation. You know, the older you get, you do have to face these things. And this is the section of the letter where Paul is really reminding us of the transformation that happens in suffering. You know, I grew up with this 4:13 verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it was taught to me like a hype up verse. Like, this is, you know, an empowerment, almost like a magic spell that I can use to get to my goals. But when you read it in context, I mean, the verse right before it is talking about facing starvation. So it's like, yeah, you know, that doesn't really fit into my end of year planning. Like, what's this next year going to look like? Better allow for some space for starvation and some for abundance. But that is how the years go. There are ups and downs. Like I was telling you the last episode, last spring was, I mean, it was kind of a bummer. And that was not in my yearly plan for 2023 was to go through those things. So it's a reminder when he's talking in verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That sounds so zen. That sounds like, you know, whatever happens, I've learned to be content. Well, it wasn't earned that way. It was really difficult and it was hard. And when we have the opportunity to help one another, it's also in the humility that, you know, one of these days it's going to be us in that position receiving the help. And that's what the benefit of living in faith community is, that you don't have to face these things alone because of, you know, the Spirit and His Word, but also because of the ones that you are surrounded with.
So concern and worry in itself is not always wrong, you know, or bad. We see out of the concern of the hearts of this church, they were continuing to minister to Paul by providing for him. And I think even like Epaphroditus came from there, and he was more worried about these people that were going to be worrying about him when he was almost dying than he was about himself. And then, you know, Paul is addressing his worry there too. And I think that worry and concern are natural behaviors, but we just don't live in them. You know, we don't partner it with fear, but we just, you know, do what we can. And then we cast our cares on the Lord and trust that He will take care of that. One of the verses or sections of scripture that I have been thinking a lot about as we talk about this contentment. And Cecily, I loved what you said. Let me see where my notes are. It wasn't peace, but it was a settled state of mind characterized by peace, which is what? I love the definition, but I don't know what it was defining.
Oh, I'm trying to think of where did we talk about that?
Joy.
I don't think it's Cecily chapter 4 verse 3.
Yeah, she was defining it, and I was writing every word down defining except for joy. What it defined.
Yeah, it was joy. It was joy. And it's detaching that from our circumstances.
Detached from your circumstances, exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you go back to Mark chapter 5. Is that right? No. Mark chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 35. On that day, an evening had come, and he said to them, this is Jesus, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with them, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep in the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him? So the things that I want to take note of here is in this circumstance, Jesus was demonstrating a settled peace by sleeping. Yeah. Obviously, he controls the winds and waves, so they aren't keeping him up at night. But the presence of Jesus, the source of the fruit of peace, the source of the fruit of joy, and self-control is laying in this boat with you, and the storm is freaking these guys out so bad that they come and wake up Jesus, not just can you help us, but accusing him. Like, you don't even care. What are you doing? You may not die, but we're all going to die, and you're just sleeping. You know, so they wake him up, accusing him, emotional, freaking out. And he responds, I think, because, you know, if you have kids or you're around kids, sometimes there's just a whole lot of stuff going on and there's panic and whatever. And you're just like, everyone be quiet. You know, like it's stressful, bad weather and you're driving. So you turn down the radio. So Jesus is like, all right, be still. He's got everyone's attention. And then he doesn't say, it's all fine. Don't worry. I'm here. He says, why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? And I think the disciples wanted peace from the storm, but he wanted them to have peace in the storm. And I think that's where Paul is. And I think that's where we get lost. We think that just because we don't get peace from our storm, we think he doesn't care. But he does care. But he says, you don't have to ask for it. You don't have to search me down and try to find me to work really hard and get peace through this transformation process of checklists and do this and don't do that or whatever. He's like, just be with me. Just be with me. Abide in me and the fruit of peace that you need, that settled peace that is joy that you get from being with him, that is what I need, and that is what we get from him. So when we want to learn to be content, it's because we have faith. It's because we trust in him, the one who controls the winds and the waves. Like they said, their fear shifted from fear of the sea to fear of the one who controlled the sea. But it was a settled fear, because they trust him. They don't trust the ocean, but they trust the one who controls it.
Yes, and I think that's the context that we see that popular verse of I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's not the focus of I can do all things.
Yeah.
It's through him is really the focus, that in that storm, we tend to want just the calmness. We want the fruit. but we're missing the point is having him with us in it is the true gift. And that's what Paul is showing us here, that he's saying, thank you, Philippian church, for supporting me. It has helped me. It's an encouragement to me. Timothy is an encouragement to me. Epaphroditus is an encouragement to me. I'm thankful to God that he spared his life so I can send him back to you. But don't allow me to elevate those things above what is truly the source of my contentment, and that is my relationship with Christ. Yeah. Because my circumstances change all the time. I'm in jail. I'm out of jail. I'm thinking I want to go this way on the map, and he's sending me to a whole nother continent. So I can't put my peace in the circumstances. I can't put my peace in the calmness of the ocean, because at any moment, all of that can shift. But the promise that he is with me in it is the true source of my contentment. And that's where I always go back to. And I invite you along with it. And we celebrate those things. But it just makes me remember, like, all my relationships, all the fellowship, they're all gifts, but they can't be my source. So I have to hold them loosely so that when things don't play out the way I want them to, if I'm elevating that, and sometimes I do, I'm like the disciples and saying, God, why are you taking this away from me? I thought I'm doing this. Where are you in this? I want the peace and the unity and all of that. And he's saying, but you have to want me above all of those things and trust that my withness is the true gift in all of it. And from there, that's when you experience peace that passes the understanding.
Yeah, I love that. So it's talking about this peace that comes only from Jesus. So Paul talks about this settled state of mind, if you will, being in joy, not because of his circumstances, but he's also showing the Philippians, it's like he's showing these links in a chain. God has worked through you. You know, I was in this situation. You stepped in and you helped me when no one else would. And so that becomes the next link in the chain. And so, you know, now Paul is now going on to other things and they are going on to other things. It's this view of the larger story. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. We get so caught up in today. I think I told Angie maybe earlier this week that we strive so hard to hold on to this life. And in the year that I've just been through, I know what that feels like, you know, very real to hold on to this life. And it's beautiful and it's a gift. Every day is a gift. But I think we're missing something if we don't look further out and remember there is so, so much more. There is that time when we will all stand together whole, no longer sick, no longer separated, no longer angry. And so that's that chain that Paul is building. He's saying this all has meaning. It all matters. Yeah, it's not all good. It's not all easy. And I love how Nikki mentioned that this verse is often a battle cry, but we pull it out of context. The other one that's so prevalent is Jeremiah. I think it's 29:13, for I know the plans I have for you. Well, they were suffering, hugely suffering, that we can't even imagine. And I'm not sure that we can imagine how much Paul was suffering, and yet he wrote this beautiful letter all about joy and rejoicing. and so all of these things, this link through all of it is the presence of Jesus. He's always the thing that links us together and links our days with those that are to come.
Amen. During this discussion, I was reminded of a quote from early in the 1900s that says, the average man would rather be safe than free. And I think of Paul in his circumstances. He is so free. He is so spiritually free. He says in the previous chapter, he's not attained that yet. But he has been able to rise up above, you know, all the difficult things that it took him to get there. That even in prison, he is spiritually free. But that's not a safe state. And I'm also reminded of the Chronicles of Narnia books, where the Christ figure is the lion, Aslan. And all the other characters are going, well, why is Aslan going now? Why doesn't he stay? Why doesn't he do this? And another character turns and says, well, he's not tame. He's not a tame lion. You can't conform him to your will. And so we sometimes think of the Lord as, especially around Christmas time, because the verse, he came as a child, he's meek and mild. And when he comes again, he's coming with a sword from his mouth. Like, that is, he is all those things. He is meek. He is humble. He came as a servant. But he's also the perfect judge, fearsome and full of glory and altogether lovely, in spite, you know, in spite of all these contrasting images. So it's not a safe, guaranteed life that he calls us out to, but it is one of adventure and of trust and of transformation.
I love that description of God as untamed. I think that's, I guess, almost a shocking reminder that we need, that he doesn't conform to our will. We conform to his, just like the sea in Mark chapter 4, you know, it bows to his will. And we can't imagine what it's like to have the power to control a storm. A literal storm. I think literal storms make you feel so vulnerable, especially on the ocean, my goodness, and insignificant. And, you know, like, you just a blink and they can be gone out of sight. It's incredible, but he's in control. Just wanted to touch on the second half of the verses Angie read in 14 through 23, as far as Acts chapter 16. We started the series mentioning these verses and how this was Paul's first venture into Europe and his journey with Timothy and Titus, and how these people have not forgotten him, and he looks back on them with so much affection and so much gratitude. And I think it's incredible because, you know, when you are grumbling and complaining and thinking about all the things that are going wrong, you can't also be thinking about gratitude and all the things that are going right. I think you said that, Angie, like, this gratitude place that he comes to is a fruit of the contentment that he has from being in the presence of God. And so I think that part of the ways to get there in this sort of practical study that we've been doing these last two episodes is to let your heart shift towards gratitude, not just for what God has done for you, but what other people in the church have done for you. I think about these two ladies back in 4:2 who are having some difficulty after having served together for so long, and know that if they can really focus and remember the things that they have done together to serve God and to serve Paul in their church, evidently is important because it got mentioned for all eternity in the Word of God. So, you know, we don't want to get distracted and focus in on the pain ever or the division. I think you said that too, Nikki, just coming back to what brings us together is him, and the goal that we're pressing on for is him. So as we kind of wrap up this conversation and wrap up this book, but continue to focus on that transformation process in us, thinking about how Paul has taken us on this journey that started for him in Acts chapter 9 and continued. And here we are in Philippians in another phase of his journey, about how God is the source, Jesus is the source of everything that he needs. And we always just want to come back to that, come back to him, come back to minimizing the things that aren't him in our life, prioritizing the things that are him, shifting our focus, shifting our perspective, always working in that transformation process, knowing that the ability to transform doesn't come from within us, but it only comes from him in us as we abide in him. John 15, I think, is so amazing and relevant to every part of our Christian walk. Always, this was some of the last words Jesus gave before his crucifixion to the disciples, was abide in me, dwell in me. Everything you need comes from me. I will give you peace in all the things that they were getting ready to face as the church and everything they knew about religion was turned completely upside down. He says, just keep your eyes on me.
Yeah, I love that. I love Just Paul's transformation is showing that in the beginning he depended so much on himself, and as we're seeing now, he depends so much fully on his Lord, and he's going to encourage everyone to do that in their own lives. And it just makes me think, in our fast-paced day-to-day, that often we don't pause. And I might just ask you, listeners, to think about how you can be that encouragement to somebody that you are walking alongside of, just as we have been reading, Paul has been to so many and continues to be to us today who reads. Might you pause and write that letter of encouragement that points someone that you love back to God? Or might you even take the love that you have received of God to someone who hasn't experienced it yet, knowing that it is the work of the Holy Spirit that would open their hearts, but that you would just trust your abiding in the Lord to flow naturally into your conversations and through your words, so that you can point people back over and over to the gospel, because God is the good shepherd. He promises to lead us. I think we talked about that, his voice. But we have to know what the truth is, and that's why we are always, through this transformation process, going to point you back to his word, so that we know what truth is. Because I think in this fast pace, when words are coming to us from a multitude of different places, we can get very confused on what is the truth. So it's going back to the good shepherd, the one you need to know his voice, so that you can experience the peace that he leads us to beside still waters, leads us into the paths of righteousness. And I love, I'm pulling out verses from Psalm 23, but that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because just like we said, he is with us and he is goodness and he is mercy. So we trust in everything in him with us.
Yeah, I love that. And so where Paul begins to come to the end of this letter, he speaks of this fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So this is this worship. and the sacrificial system was no longer, right? But what he's speaking of is this costly devotion to God. And sometimes that means laying down what we're thinking and feeling in a situation, and being able to turn it over to God. Sometimes, like Angie said, it's reaching out to someone else. Are we willing to be vulnerable and put ourselves out there? That is super hard. It is really hard to do, because you're taking that first step and you might be rejected, or maybe you've been rejected from that person before. But that is part of this fragrant offering, this sacrifice that is so pleasing to God, is this willingness to put ourselves out there. And I don't know. And then being okay that we're just a work in progress, being okay that I'm not done yet. so I just want to encourage you wherever you are. And God may be asking of you for you to give a costly thing, whatever that is. It may just be comfort. It may just be a job or whatever that is. And I say just because one day you'll look back and you'll say, well, I made it through it. But right now where you are today, it is hard. And so we come back to what Paul says: in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And it's coming right back to him. And I think that is where we're transformed. It's always bringing it back around to him.
I can't think of a better way to end this series and this session. So thank you for joining us as we have journeyed through Philippians, and we look forward to whatever God has next. Please just stay in tune to our website and social media pages for whatever that will be and what the schedule will be. God knows, and we don't yet, but he's sovereign, and we will just walk in faith as we trust him to lead. Cecily, would you like to close this out in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this journey that we have been on. And Father, we know that the journey continues after today. Lord, I pray for every heart, every soul that is listening or will listen. Father, I pray that they will know your presence, that in all the hard, and we all have hard, that they will and we will be able to turn it over to you. So just draw our eyes and put our focus back on you. Lord, we know that you hold all things, that you have a purpose, and that, Father, we are all a work in process. And so I pray, Father, that you will be with us in the middle. God, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are, for all that is, all that was, and all that is to come. In Jesus' name, amen.